Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Welcome back. This is episode 203 of the MTG Pro Tutor Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. We have a great guest lined up for you, just like we do each and every week, twice a week, in fact. And we are going to be diving into how our guest prepares for and does well at big Magic events. That's right. I invite the top 8 players from each Grand Prix and the top 16 players of each Pro Tour onto the show to discuss their journey, their ups, their downs, where they started, what they do now, and how you can also implement those same tips and tricks to better your game. If you've been tuning in for the last week or so, you know that we recently passed episode 200, and to commemorate that, MTG Pro Tutor has partnered with Paragon City Games. The Paragon City Games graciously provided a giveaway, a Modern Masters 2017 giveaway, the whole box, as a celebration for episode 200 of the MTG Pro Tutor podcast. That giveaway has wrapped up, and I am happy to announce that Rikus of Zuid Africa, I believe, is the winner. So congratulations, Rikus, that is awesome. Send the confirmation email your way, and I'll give you a couple days to respond. So check your email and confirm that you got it. And thank you so much to everyone else who participated. I mean, I know it's pretty easy for you, just kind of submit for some free stuff, which is always awesome. Who doesn't like free stuff, right? But I just really appreciate the engagement. I really love being able to give back to the community, and I wouldn't be able to do that without, in this case, Paragon City Games. So thank you, Paragon City Games, so much. You can check them out. They are a proud sponsor of the show, ParagonCityGames.com, to see what they are doing in the multiverse. They are a huge proponent of building the community, and they do a wonderful job at that. And before we carry on with this episode, I do want to say that this show is also brought to you by the patrons. Thank you so much for your support, patrons. It really means a lot to me. You help keep the lights on, keep the wheels greased, and keep the engine going. MTGPro2.com/Patreon is where you can go to check that out if you are so interested. Basically, the things that the patrons help me do is pay the audio editor and my show notes girl, who are absolutely wonderful and an integral part of the team. I would not be able to do this without them, and the patrons are the one that make that possible. So thank you. Thank you so much. I love doing this. I love all the community interaction that we have, and I look forward to doing many, many more. As we're pulling into the weekend here, I hope that you have some great plans to play some Magic, whether that's at FNM, or maybe you're going to one of the Grand Prix at either Copenhagen or Kobe. If so, good luck. Can't wait to have you on the show. Well, that's it for the top of the interview. Let's bring in our guest, sit down, and talk about Magic. What's up, everybody? I'm really pumped to have our guest with us today. Our guest is a 24-year-old clerk from Zurich, Switzerland, who started playing Magic about 4 years ago. He's been to a bit more than a dozen Grand Prix and made his first Grand Prix Top 8 in Bologna of 2017. Prodigies near and far, let's welcome the one, the only, Dario Veneri. Dario, how you doing?
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm doing great, and how about you?
We are doing fantastic, thank you so much. Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience tips and tricks to take their game to the next level?
Sure. Let's go.
All right. So, Prodigies out there, if you want to connect with Dario, you can do so on Twitter. He is at Jocelyn_Avalon. So that's where you can find him on Twitter. And before we dive into the Magic stuff, Dario, I'd love to dive into the non-Magic stuff. So first of all, we mentioned in the bio that you are in Switzerland, but your name sounds very Italian. So tell us about that. Tell us about your family and what you're doing out there.
Yeah, so actually my father is Italian. So are my grandparents. Oh. And I grew up in Switzerland, though. I was born and raised here. So that's where name comes from. I've been living in near Zurich all my life. Pretty good here. I'm enjoying it.
And you are a clerk for where?
I work at a famous car rental in their head offices in Zurich.
Awesome.
for the Swiss branch. Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. And where does the name, the Twitter handle Jocelyn Avalon, come from?
Oh, that's actually an old relic. My Twitter handle is, I think, about 8 or 9 years old. This is an old nickname of mine for a computer game, actually.
No.
That it's actually the name and the clan name put together. Yeah, it's really something. I was like 15 then.
What computer game?
But it was an MMORPG called Ion.
Okay.
Yeah, you used to play a lot of those.
That's awesome. All right, excellent, excellent. So you're a clerk for a rental company out there in Zurich, born and raised, been there your whole life. And then you have this really sweet Twitter handle from your old MMORPG, which is really sweet. Now, we would love to hear your origin story. We mentioned that you started playing Magic about 4 years ago, but we want to hear that story. Like, who introduced you to magic? What was it like the first time you ever saw or played with magic cards? Take us there. We want to be over your shoulder smelling the cards.
It's actually pretty simple. So as you just heard, I play computer games. And on Steam, I saw this card game on the front page, and it kind of interested me because even as a little child, we used to play with Pokemon cards and that sort of stuff. I was really into it too, and I was thinking, hey, why not give it a shot? I downloaded, I think it was Magic: Duels of the Planeswalkers 2013. So I actually started with the computer game there, and from there, in the game, they cleverly advertised the FNMs. And I decided, hey, I want to go. There's one in Zurich near me. So I went one evening, and I really liked it. The people were really nice. And I really didn't have any breaks from there. I just really went to my first draft, loved it, went to the second one week later, and started grinding FNM drafts before getting into the GP scene, really. And not the scene, but going to GPs regularly and participating in the bigger events in Switzerland.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I've just really been into it since there. Love it. Yeah.
I love that. That's so cool that your entry point was through the computer game. Like, good job on Wizards, I guess, for making that and putting that out there. That's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's just a really good tool because it really explains the game very well to you. You don't have any person next to you that might get a little impatient or something with you. It's like you have the perfect teacher and really smooth entry. It's really nice.
Totally agree. I've interviewed really a couple people from Wizards, and that's the exact same thing that they said about that product, is that it's a great way to learn, and you don't have the pressure of somebody else there. You know, you don't feel, you know, stupid in front of your friends because you messed it up. It's a computer, so you learn the rules and the mechanics, and you can make, you know, those early mistakes in the game, and then you can go and play with your friends later. So yeah, totally love it. What was your first set? So when you went to Friday Night Magic, to the shop, you started playing drafts and whatnot. What set was that?
That was Return to Ravnica.
Oh, good.
So the computer game actually had cards from I think it was M13 since. I started playing in late 2012 and went to my first FNM in early 2013. So that was the end of Return to Ravnica. And the set I really drafted, and I think to this day drafted most, was Gatecrash, because I was at every FNM there, the set after Return to Ravnica. Still, there's nostalgic feelings about that set for sure.
Excellent, excellent. What has been your favorite set? Is it Gatecrash, or do you have another one that's popped up?
I mean, I guess I gotta say Amonkhet, right? since it's not far in, but I love the set. I love the mechanics. I think they're really cool. I love the flavor of the set.
Yeah.
And obviously, I just made my first big score on the GP. So really good start on that set so far. But yeah, I have a crush on Gatecrash.
Nah, I like it.
Yeah, I'm a Boros mage at heart for sure.
Okay. Awesome. Now, along the same lines, what is one of your favorite cards?
One of my favorite cards? That would be Hero of Bladehold, oddly.
For those of us who don't know, what is it? What does it do? And why do you like it?
So it's a 2W for a human soldier creature. It's a 3/4. And it has Battle Cry, which when it attacks, it gives other creatures +1/+0. And when it attacks, you can create 2/1/1 soldiers tapped and attacking. Mm-hmm. So it actually attacks for 7 the next turn after you play it, because the two attacking soldiers are 2/1 because it's Battle Cry. It's funny that since that card was actually it was created before I started Magic, right? So I never really got introduced to it with the new set. But I play a lot of Cube, and I don't know. I just like, as I said, I'm Boros Mage, like White Weenie, and this card kind of struck home with me.
That is that's a good card for sure. Awesome. Sweet. So you have your beginnings going from computer to real life, and you came in on Return to Ravnica. And now, obviously, like Amonkhet, love that. We're going to dive into that in a little bit. And your favorite card is Hero of Bladehold. We love that. We love getting to know, you know, a little bit about you and your favorites and whatnot. And we would love to dial in on when you started getting serious as a Magic player. What was an early challenge that you struggled with? What's something that, you know, you didn't grasp at first, but that you eventually overcame?
I would definitely say variance. It's really hard when you're trying to Obviously, when you go to GPs, you want to do well. Maybe not at your first Grand Prix, but as you go to more and more, you're really starting to want to get to that next level, to that day two, to maybe cash one day. And when you get hit by bad variants, for me, it was very hard to cope with that and not get torn out of my concentration there. So that's really something that I had to mentally focus on and work on my game for sure.
And how did you do that? What have you done to overcome that struggle with variants?
Mainly what I do nowadays is I just focus on the next game. I never think about eventual results that might happen, such as when you're doing well at the GP. Maybe I'll make top eight, or what happens if I go 3-0 in this draft now? Or in the other way around, if you just lost two games early at a tournament or one or two games, and you're thinking to yourself, "Oh, that mana screw! I really could have beaten that opponent." That really doesn't matter. You just gotta phase it out of your thinking and just focus on how can I win the next game. How can I give it my all to give myself the best chance to win the next game, and that doesn't even extend to the whole match. It's just the next game, game in front of you. And when you're done with that, you focus on your sideboarding. You think, all right, what did I see in the last game? What can I do to, you know, overcome maybe that aggressive deck that's facing me, or give me a better edge against that control deck?
Right.
And really just be in the moment. That's really all it is. Just be in the moment and focus on the next game. That's really the best advice I can give the listeners, really. Yeah.
I totally agree. Like, obviously variance is a huge part of Magic, and we accept it. It's kind of, part of what makes the game fun. It's tough sometimes, totally tough sometimes. And I love your take on just focus on the next game, not even the next match, just the next game, and how can you make the best decision right there. And then something else that kind of came to my mind that I've taken away when we've had this conversation before is you mentioned, you know, that you go to events and you want to do well, obviously, and it was kind of a struggle when you didn't do well. And for me, I found that when I have a longer perspective, you know, when I realize, hey, this is not my only Grand Prix. You know, this is not my only chance to make it onto the Pro Tour. When you have that longer perspective, and we've seen this as we talk to players who have been, you know, to many Pro Tours and whatnot, they realize, you know, I'm going to go to a bunch of Grand Prix this year, and if I do poorly in one, then I'll try again the next one. And they understand that it's kind of like a long play, you know, a long-term play, right? And so when people get wrapped up like, oh, I have to do this PPTQ, like this is my only chance of making it, you know, then that variance hits you harder, you know, or when it does hit you, it affects you worse than it normally would. If you just go, you go prepared, obviously, and you do your best, then you realize, hey, I did my best. I didn't make it this time, but guess what? There's another PPTQ in, you know, 3 weeks or whatever.
Yeah. If you can look back at a tournament and really say, okay, I did manage to give my best. Mm-hmm. That's all you can do, really. Yeah. And it also, for me, it has to do with fun. I mean, if you're really stubborn, as you just said, you're really angry about that bad turn of events that happened in your last game, you're not having fun. And I think that's really important. That's basically why we're playing Magic here, right?
Yeah.
You want to have fun, want to have a good time. And if you're winning, you're going to have more fun. And that you're going to accomplish by not getting your concentration disrupted by these for me they were really sometimes I really got angry. I wasn't like berating anyone. I still stay polite and everything, but I got angry at myself. And
that's burning silent anger.
Yeah, right. Maybe making a bad play, overseeing that and overseeing this, and it's just it's something you really have to be mentally aware of when we have that issue.
So you mentioned keeping your concentration. So this isn't so much on the variant side, but more like when you are at a long event, you know, like a Grand Prix has, you know, 9 rounds on day one, you're there all day. What do you do during the day to keep focus, to keep your mindset right, to stay concentrated? Because that's a lot of magic. It's a long day. Do you have any tips or anything that you do for long magic days?
So that's actually a very good question. And it's something I think I really improved that lately. It helps, and I would always recommend that, because that always that also plays into the fun aspect of the game. Go with friends or people you know. Don't go alone to a GP, or you need to have that exchange between rounds, and maybe not complain about your last game, but talk about it. Talk about some decision points. And after deck building, talk about your deck. Talk about decisions that you can make out of a sideboard, like. Maybe transform your deck or something. That's really something that helps shorten the waiting times between GP rounds, because sometimes you will wait for 45 minutes between GPs because your round may have been over very soon, very quickly. And sometimes there are delays at especially at GPs, and you gotta bridge that gap between the rounds. And another thing that I find very important that I really noticed in my last GP was nutrition. Know what you're eating, and even maybe plan it ahead. Think to yourself, all right, what's my nutrition going to look like during this day? Because as you said, it's 9 rounds of magic. Mm-hmm. You're gonna be there for maybe 12 hours, so you need to be well. You need to have a good nutrition. Just really think about what you're eating. Don't forget to drink. That all that helps to keep your concentration up and to really stay sharp throughout the tournament. Yeah,
love it. Thank you. Yeah, so good stuff. Go with people you know. Interact with them in between rounds. Don't complain, but discuss crucial decision times from your game to really kind of keep it in your mindset. Because like you said, if you go quickly, then you're going to have a lot of dead time in between. And then be mindful of what. Be mindful of your body, you know, take care of it, eat the right things, stay hydrated, get sleep the night before. So good stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I'm interested in kind of your rise, I guess, because you just made your first top 8, which is awesome. You've only been playing for 4 years, and that's really cool, because there's people who have been playing for longer and they haven't made top 8. So have you had like stepping stones? Are there any events kind of leading up to the Grand Prix that you kind of saw yourself improving incrementally, or you just kind of spiked this Grand Prix and like, oh, wow, look at me.
Yeah, it's funny. We're talking about variants, and it's really that. I mean, it's actually my first cash at a GP.
Okay, yeah.
I got close a couple times. I got a pro tour at Stockholm and Prague. They were both limited GPs as well. I had a couple day twos in my, what was it, I think 15 or 16 GPs now. And this is really the first time I really spiked, right? And that, of course, has to do with variance. You can't do well at a tournament without drawing well, having good matchups. But also, I felt like I took care of myself well, as we discussed before, with nutrition, and I didn't make a lot of mistakes, so that all came together to propel me to this position where I'm. It's still kind of surreal for me to have to have this accomplishment, since I watched the players on the pro tour, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, they're so good. How am I ever going to get there and compete with them? And now I'm in this situation, and I really look forward to the challenge too. But I'm really not far into high level magic as it were. Yeah.
Interesting, man. It's so interesting. I love just hearing other people's journey and how they did it and how they feel along the way. And I'd love to discuss kind of leading up to the Grand Prix, and then we'll talk a little bit about what's coming next. So, what were you doing to prepare for the Grand Prix? What did that look like? What did it take? What was your preparation period like?
So I'm really fortunate to have a lot of very very good friends that are among the top players in Switzerland. I have a good resource in them. We discuss drafts and pick orders and all that kind of stuff, and that really also helped me get better. So if you can create a network of really people you like that also have a lot of experience that can give you tips, that's really valuable. And for me, that kind of helped me get better faster. For this GP, I played a lot of Magic online beforehand. I did about I think 12 to 15 drafts and two or three seals. And this time it actually, since it came out, earlier this time on Magic Online, I had some more time to prepare than normal for the first GP, which I think is always one week after after the release,
yep.
Or maybe 2 weeks. I just go to pre-releases. I go to Saturday events at local Swiss shops, and in the evenings before the GP to prepare, I also draft that on Magic Online and really shared my experiences with other people. Up to the drive to the GP, we discussed in the car. We talked about card evaluations. I think Magic Online is a really good tool, and having this friend base of really potent players helped me get a good grip on the format, and having fun playing it is nice too. I really like my blue black cycling decks with Lake Claim.
nice. So at a limited Grand Prix, the main event is sealed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do I phrase this? What skill, what part of preparation do you feel was most impactful? Because I'm thinking, like, so you open up all your cards, and you feel like because you had all these conversations that you knew what cards were good and what weren't good, and so it was kind of like, you know, an auto build or whatever. Or did the card evaluation really come in? Were there some really tough choices that you had to kind of decide what went in? Or was it just, you know, you had this deck and you just played it very well, and that kind of took you up? So what were some of those key things that really came together to help you on this event?
Well, specifically for this GP, I actually, when I opened my pool, it was clear what colors I should play.
Okay.
I had a green-red deck, which featured Glorybringer, which is, of course, one of the best cards in the set. And I think the card's Heartpiercer Manticore, the 4-mana Manticore that shoots creatures and stuff. Other than that, I just built a curve. I just really focused on my curve since it's a red-green creature deck. Added removal, and then I noticed, hey, I have 22 playable cards. This build really wasn't, it was pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
I added one card, which my friends kind of berated me for, which was Onwards to Victory.
Okay.
That card is an instant for 2 and a red that gives a creature +X/+0, where X is its power.
Okay.
And it actually has an aftermath effect for white, but I didn't play any white.
Oh.
So I just played it for this part. The idea being that I had a lot of tramplers and cards that gave other cards evasion. So I just wanted kind of this effect to finish my opponents off. That was kind of scoffed at, but in the end it worked out. I mean, I just played a lot of creature mirrors in the event. I had 2 buys that helped.
Oh, nice.
Too. If you can really go to GPs regularly and pick up those planeswalker points for the buys, they really help. They give you a really nice head start.
Nice.
At the GP, you get fortunate draws. Good matchup. Sometimes people mana screw against you. You mana screw a little less, and whoops, you're 8-1.
Nice.
Yeah, and it just really happened like that.
Awesome. All right, cool. Now I love this. Like when we're doing this interview, is actually, you know, really close to your event, and that doesn't always happen. So I love getting this, and obviously this will go live, you know, a couple weeks out. But it's really fun to have this conversation so close to the actual event. So that is really neat. Armaged is still brand new, and it's just fun to kind of see and hear how people are, you know, attacking the limited format. So.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on your journey, you have ups and downs, just like all Magic players, but your highs and lows are unique to you. And so we want to dive into, first, your worst Magic moment, and what did you learn from that experience?
My worst Magic moment? That's a hard one. Well, I obviously know the best one now. This is really hard for me. What was my worst Magic moment? Oh, I think I know. It was actually an event that I also really started well in. It was a WMCQ, which is a World Magic Cup qualifier that qualifies you in the team event. And I really started out well. Made a top 8 of my local tournament with my White Weenie deck in Standard. And my friend was already qualified for this tournament, and I really, really wanted it. And as it is, I didn't focus on the next game enough and kind of got ahead of myself. And didn't play so well, and I lost the quarterfinals there. And that really was I was disappointed about that. I gotta say there's some big disappointments. I mean, I've seen other people too at GPs. The highs and lows are so close together. When you beat someone for top eight, the other person had the same dream as you, and they're going away empty-handed, and that's really tough. Yeah.
And this was to qualify for a WMCQ, or this was a WMCQ?
This was a WMCQ. Wow. If I had won the event, I would have been able to go to the World Magic Cup. In Switzerland, they're not that big. I think it was like 50 people in this event, and
that's pretty small. Wow, I mean, that's, man. So you got ahead of yourself.
I bet in America they're huge, but there's not many Magic players in Switzerland. I would say approximately maybe 200 that go to events regularly, maybe less.
Oh man, so you all know each other.
Yeah, it's one big community, right? Yeah, I mean, for sure.
That's awesome. So man, those near misses definitely stick with us for sure. But thankfully, we have our ups and our highs. Sure. And on the flip side, we would love to hear your proudest Magic moment to date. Tell us that.
Which was three days ago at Bologna. clearly, my first cash at an event at a Grand Prix event and making top eight. It's still surreal. I really didn't have enough time to reflect it so far. Like I'm still processing this. It's really something.
What did it feel like in the moment, you know, when you know that you made it into top eight, and you know, obviously you wanted to play in the top eight, but when you locked in that top eight and you're like, wow, like what did that feel like?
So I remember it well, since it wasn't too long ago. I played this black white zombie deck in draft, and I played. I actually had two shots at top eight because I was 12-1. I had two shots to get to 13 wins, which most of the time qualifies you for top eight, and for sure qualifies you for the pro tour. So it was a big match, but I was able to phase that out really well. I was really not thinking about how much I'm playing for, so the reaction, and my friends told me this, was kind of disappointing. I didn't have a big burst of emotion, but I was really calm, and I went to my friends that were watching. I hugged them. I was really happy, but at the same time, I was still in the zone because I knew the tournament's going to go on, and I gotta stay focused. Can't get ahead of myself. It really was. On the one hand, you just really just accomplished something that you always dream about. I mean, for my 16 GPs, what's the goal? It's to make top eight. It's to win the GP. And you always dream of making it. And then when you get the accomplishment, it feels different than you would think when you imagine it. Very different, in fact. And you don't really acknowledge it as something big that you just accomplished. But it feels smaller than it is when you imagine it. Maybe that doesn't make so much sense, but that's kind of how it feels. It's really tough to describe. And of course, I was really trying to keep focus, as I said, and focus on the next draft.
That's interesting.
Which is then top eight.
Which is the top eight draft. Yeah, I love that. I love how you said that you were able to block out what you're playing for, how big of the stakes were or whatever.
Sure.
So you're just able, that's awesome. You're just able to focus on the game and do it. And so when you did it, you know, you were happy and gave hugs and stuff like that, but it wasn't like this huge burst of energy because you had been able to keep your focus on your motions in check. And you knew that even though you got to top eight and you go in the pro tour, you still had to play in the top eight. I think it's really cool. And for you, the feeling was awesome, but it wasn't as big as you thought it was
going to
be.
And it builds up too. Like when you notice the tension, people are coming up to you saying, hey, keep going. They're really wishing you all the best. And then, when you get to round 11, 12, 13, and you're still doing good, I was shaking like a puppy. I mean, oof. I was nervous, of course, but at the same time, as you said, I was really, I didn't even know what the prize money was for top eight because I didn't care.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't matter, because what matters is winning the next game.
Yeah. Yeah. How was your top eight performance?
I lost in the quarterfinals. So I drafted this red white aggro deck, and the idea behind it was that Since I'm a little bit of a less skillful player than some of those top A players, I mean, Martin Hughes was there, Simon Nielsen, some very good players, Javier Dominguez, who I also played in the Swiss rounds.
Nice.
They're all qualified for the Pro Tour, Gold Pros. Martin Hughes are very, very well established, top eight at a Pro Tour not too long ago. So the idea behind drafting this red-white aggro deck was that I'm familiar with aggro. As I said, I like white weenie. I like being aggressive. And I had a very high seed since I managed to win my first top eight winning in. I had third seed. So what that means is I can choose to play against all the opponents from 4 to 8. And what that obviously is beneficial for an aggro deck. Then I played against Pascal Dieren from Belgium. He drafted this horrible matchup for me, which was green-black minus counter theme, mm-hmm. which all of my X1 creatures, all of my small little weenie type creatures just die to his removal spells and to his incidentally value gaining creatures, and that matchup really felt bad, and I lost 2-0. I really didn't have a good shot.
Man, but you drafted what you knew, and mm-hmm. commend you for that. So that's really good. And I mean, you still made the top 8. So that's great. So that's
yeah, awesome. I mean, it's funny how I would have drafted differently were it a Magic Online draft.
Oh, interesting.
For sure. I can remember my first pack. There was a pull from Tomorrow, a blue draw spell. And there was this white 2-drop that gains flying when it attacks if you exert it. I was thinking, hey, I don't know if I can outgrind my opponents and outplay them in the long game with these card draw spells and blue controlling cards. Maybe just focus on the white aggressive creatures and try to beat them down, which I did in the previous drafts. In the two drafts in before the top 8, I played black white zombies 2 times, and that worked really well, of course. So I stuck to the plan and got a little bit of a bad matchup, not that good of a draw, and good opponent. So that's all she wrote.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So moving forward, though, I love talking to people who made the first Grand Prix top 8 because that means. So this is your first Pro Tour invite?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is. Yeah.
So. What are you going to do? How are you going to prepare? What does that look like for someone who just made the first Grand Prix top 8? Because I'm assuming you're not part of one of the mega teams or whatever. So what's your plan? Like, what does that look like? How does somebody prepare for their first Pro Tour? What is your plan?
So, since the Swiss Magic community is pretty small, I know some of the top Swiss players, and some of them are actually qualified for the same Pro Tour as well.
Oh, good, that's good.
One good friend of mine, Serafin Wellinger, he's qualified for the next Pro Tour, which is taking place in a week. It will have passed by the time this yes. episode finishes. I hope he does well. If he does well, we're going to be qualified for the same Pro Tour. That would be sweet because testing with Swiss people, that would be really cool. If they don't make it, I'm still going to rely on them.
Mm-hmm. You'll still play together.
We're gonna play together. I'm gonna focus on Magic Online a little more and really try to get many reps in mm-hmm. before the tournament, which I'm not one of the grinders, as you say. I'm not playing every day on Magic Online. There's stretches where I play once a week, maybe on Saturday, which is consistent, but I'm not. it's just a hobby for me, right? I was kind of shell shocked by this. Suddenly I'm invited to go to Japan.
Yeah,
yeah, it's crazy, really. And yeah, I'm just really gonna try to have kind of the same process, rely on the same people because I know they're gonna be really motivated to support me right. as I was supporting them because they also made the Pro Tour, some of them already. So they'll surely return the favor.
Yeah, man.
And I don't know how we'll see how it goes. I don't have any ambitions. I'm already focused on the next game for that one.
Good for you, man. That's awesome. We wish you the best of luck. We love watching past
thank
guests
you,
go
you.
On and do a great thing. That is so cool. So as you've played Magic and you've just, you know, observed and absorbed and learned, What's the biggest mistake that you see players make? And then how can we avoid that mistake?
The biggest mistake is this focused on the limited part of Magic or just Magic in general?
Just from your observations, whether if you want to focus that into the biggest limited mistake, go for it. If you have a broader perspective, that's fine. Just the biggest mistake you've observed.
Since I'm playing more limited than constructed, I have a lot of opinions about this format, of course. I play a lot of sealed and drafts. What I notice is that people tend to splash too much in their draft and sealed decks, thus sacrificing consistency in their mana curve. And you don't really notice it when you're losing a game because of mana screw, because maybe you didn't draw your colors. These games are mostly over very quickly, and you write them off as bad variants. But you can actually reduce that variance by playing simpler mana bases, more consistent mana and curve considerations, and just really try to minimize the negative variance against you, as well as try to take advantage of bad variants at opponents. If you're, for example, playing an aggressive deck, you just really need to focus on your curve too. Yeah, but I would say mana bases. I would say people are embezzled by these shiny gold cards, and they wanna play them all, and that's understandable. Of course, I did that mistake plenty of times myself, and I'm still doing it. But you just really gotta remind yourself that there's a real cost if you want to play more than two colors in limited, for sure, because the mana bases, they're pretty bad. I'm telling you, even as two color, the they're pretty bad. If you, especially if you're coming from constructed, you're used to better mana bases.
That's a really good point. So being mindful of your mana base and not sacrificing it for a low impact payoff that may or may not outweigh the detriment of screwing up your mana base. So good point.
Just be mindful of the value it brings. Right? Yes. If it's this flashy mythic rare that's gonna win you the game every time, it's written on it. You win the game if you cast it, and by all means, go for it. Splashing is a very powerful tool. Pay attention. That's what I would say. Pay attention to what it does to your mana base, and notice when you lose games. Well, what was the reason for that? Was it because I splashed this mediocre gold uncommon and I didn't draw my blue sources, maybe? Or was it just because of I didn't draw any lands at all? Then it doesn't matter what colors they have.
What have you learned from Magic that you've been able to take to other areas of your life?
That's a lot. Besides gaining friends and social interactions and having really a consistent hobby. A really funny point is actually dealing with variants in life situations. So if you're, if you get overseen by the waiter at the restaurant, for example, and you think, oh, always me, or if somebody cuts you off in traffic, oh, why didn't they see me? Just, it's just being being mindful of that in Magic actually teaches you to be to not react so drastically to variance when it occurs in real life in completely unrelated situations that have nothing to do with any games or that's something that I found really funny and then that I apply more than I really am aware to.
And how are hobbies like viewed out there in Switzerland? Like, are you able to go to work and be like, hey, like, I just made top eight of this card game tournament, I'm doing really well, I'm gonna go to Japan, and they're all like, oh, hey, that's really cool, or they're like, oh, that's kind of weird? Like, how are hobbies viewed? What's it like? What's the culture out there in Switzerland as far as hobbies go?
So Magic specifically and fantasy is actually really well received in Switzerland.
All right, cool.
There was actually this convention which, shame to admit, I didn't go, but in Basel there's this fantasy convention with thousands of people, and it only exists for about 3 years, but it's really big here and people understand it. We're not when I tell people I go to this card game tournament, it's kind of weird because I can't really explain them what the game is. It's like it's not and a well-known game like chess or poker that you can say, oh, I've heard of that. Magic, what's that? I don't know. It's just you're kind of struggling with explaining what exactly that entails. But if you tell them, hey, I got, what is it, top eight at a 1,600 player tournament, everybody's going to be impressed of your feet regardless of what the tournament was about. So if you can beat that many people, you must have been good at something, and that's generally accepted as worthwhile, I would say.
Yeah, very cool. That's really neat. So turning the lens inward on you, what's the deepest thing that you've learned about yourself from playing Magic?
Oh, you're really throwing the punches here with these good questions. Good question. I used to be pretty shy in school and also at work. I'm not the most outgoing person, but I found that if you can share a common hobby that many people, this whole community as a whole is passionate for, you can really get how do you say that? You can be more extroverted. Mm-hmm. That kind of gets easier if you're in this community that shares a common interest. And yeah,
very cool. So, wow, man, thank you. We've learned a lot about you and about Magic, and this has been really cool to, you know, see and hear how it's affected your life and other areas of, you know, of your life as well. And so that's really neat. We talked a little bit about where you're going, because you're going off to the Pro Tour in Japan. What other events do you have coming up? Are you going to be at any other Grand Prix? Like, where are we going to see you?
So I've got GP Copenhagen planned.
Excellent.
This is on, I believe, the 26th, 27th, 28th of May. That's going to be a modern tournament. And after that, I'm going to GP Las Vegas.
Nice.
The triple GP in June, Legacy, Modern, and Limited. I'm really excited for that. It's going to be a long flight, 14 hours from Switzerland, but yeah. Reckon it's going to be well worth it.
Oh, man. So what do you play in Modern, real quick?
I actually don't play a specific deck.
Okay.
When I started playing the format, I used to play Infect.
Okay.
That deck's not really good anymore, and I've been kind of struggling since then to find the deck that suits me. But I have some really spicy options, and some my friends are really good at Modern too. Some of them they really grind with one deck and they're fantastic with it and can learn a lot from them. One of those decks, Green White Hate Bears.
Oh, nice. Interesting. Hate Bears always
played that a lot, and actually friends with the creator of the deck, at least in its current form where it's most played. He built the deck and he knows it in and out. He's fantastic with the deck. He plays it very well.
Nice.
Another deck I'm having my eye out for is Restore Balance.
Okay.
That is very sweet. It's still in the deck list, is still in development. We're not quite sure how well the deck could perform, but it's a very interesting option with a new card from Amonkhet Spoiled that lets you cast the Restore Balance card for free.
Yes,
which
yes.
Which normally you can normally only suspend the card, but now with Cascaders and with this card, you can really...
There's other ways to do it. Yeah.
Go off. Yeah.
Nice. Good stuff. So yeah, that coming up. And then which events are you going to be doing at Grand Prix Vegas?
I'm actually registered for all three.
Okay.
Whenever I go 7-2 or better at an event, I'm going to miss the next one.
Right.
Which is unfortunate, but at that point, I think you're not really sad because you're already performing well. So I'm actually hoping not to only play two GPs because that will mean I'm doing well.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, it's going to be an awesome weekend. I'm really hoping to be able to go myself. So, anyways,
yeah, that'd be awesome.
We love seeing past guests go on and do great things, like I said before. And so now we know a couple Grand Prix that we can keep our eye on you. Also, the Pro Tour that you have coming up in July, I believe it is. That's awesome. Absolutely awesome.
July or August.
Man, as we wrap things up, I want to remind the prodigies, if you want to connect with Dario, the best place to do that, you can do so on Twitter. He's at Jocelyn_Avalon, which you can find him there. And then, Dario, what is one last parting piece of guidance you have for us? Either something you already said that you want to emphasize or something new you want to leave with us here at the end?
focus on the next game. Don't let it distract. Don't get distracted by. Can I do it again, Sean?
Yep.
Go for it. Do you want to ask a question again? Or
sure, I'll do it again.
Okay, thank you.
So, Dario, what is something that you... Oh, now I'm all messed up. All right. So as we wrap things up, prodigies out there, I want to remind you, if you want to connect with Dario, the best place to do that is on Twitter. He's at Jocelyn_Avalon, so you can find him there. And Dario, what is one last parting piece of guidance you have for us? Either something that you already said that you want to emphasize or something new that you want to leave with us here at the end.
Always focus on the next game. Don't let variance get you down.
Excellent. Absolutely love it. Dario, I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to the multiverse. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing your experiences with us. You are a hero among planeswalkers, and it's been a blast chatting with you. May you never be mana screwed, always draw what you need, and depart every plane victorious.
Thank you so much.
Well, there you have it. Dario, thank you again for coming onto the show. Prodigies, you can find the show notes at mtgprotuda.com/Dario Veneri. That's V-E-N-E-R-I. Dario Veneri. So look them up there. There'll be a synopsis of everything that we talked about, as well as links to any resources that were mentioned. And as we close out, I want to say thank you again to our sponsor, Paragon City Games. Go to ParagonCityGames.com, where you can check them out. It's where heroes play, and you are a hero. So go to ParagonCityGames.com to check them out. And another huge thank you to them for providing the prize support for the episode 200 giveaway that we just wrapped up. And a congratulations to Rikus, who is the winner. So Rikus, check your email if you're hearing this, and get back to me. We'll give you a couple days to do that before we draw another winner. So I hope we don't have to do that, so get back to me. And patrons, a special thank you to you. I really appreciate the support. I would not be able to do this without you. It may not seem a lot on your end, $1 here, $2 there, but on my end, it adds up and really helps keep things going. I know that there are things that I'm good at and things that I am not good at. And patrons, you support the things that I am not good at so I can focus on bringing on great guests that level up your game. So thank you, thank you, thank you. mtgpro2.com/Patreon is where you can go to learn more about that if you're so interested. As a give back, as a thank you, I do a patron exclusive drawing each and every month. So if you want in on that, go and check it out. Well, best of luck in your magic endeavors this weekend, whether you're going to a Grand Prix or an FNM. Get out there, tap some lands, have some fun. I'm Sean of the Gathering, and we will see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.